Dear friends in Christ, I'm sorry you have to put up with a cold that I brought back from vacation. I'd like to look at Acts chapter 3 for a few minutes this morning. And it's hard to remove the events of the past few days from our minds. I realize that that's forethought for right in the front of our minds for all of us. I just, like I said before, I never expected that my good friend would be facing a critical illness and that ultimately that illness would lead to his homecoming, to a day when what he proclaimed from the pulpit would become a fulfillment of the promise of everlasting life for him. It's good to be with you today, because we have something to share that is beyond human comprehension. And that's the hope of Easter. Hope, you understand, in a biblical sense, is not wishful thinking, but rather it's the fulfillment of God's promises to us in Jesus Christ. They are not idle promises. They are not a figment of somebody's imagination. They are the plan of God for his holy and precious people. I don't know if you've noticed this, but during the Easter season, there's a tradition in our, I don't know if it's just in our church body or I guess maybe liturgical bodies, to drop the Old Testament lesson and put in a lesson from the book of Acts. And I really love that. Because you see, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, not the AX, the ACTS of the Apostles. It's the history of the young Christian church after the open tomb and the resurrected Christ. Matthew, at the end of his gospel, gives the church its marching orders. He says that we go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then the Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, it's kind of part two to his gospel, is the church in action. It's the church that's been to the cross, been to the empty tomb, been with the Christ. And now this is Acts chapter 3 is post-Easter and really post-Pentecost. And it is the church in action. Now, to understand the reading that we had this morning, you probably I ought to remember what's before it. The beginning of Acts 3, Peter and John go up into the temple area. They're still in Jerusalem. They're walking up to the temple for a time of prayer, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they pass by this crippled beggar who's been parked there almost every day by his family, and he's there to beg for funds, to beg for support, money. And so he asks the apostles the same. I think this is a great response. They say to him, "Look at us. We don't have any money. But what we do have, we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He's been sitting there day after day after day with his hand out. No ability to walk. And these two come by, and Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And they take him by the hand, and all of a sudden his ankles are strong, and he stands. But he doesn't just stand. He jumps. He runs. And in excitement, he's praising God. So that's the first part of that chapter. And then Peter uses this event as his launching pad to draw attention to a major truth that the people need to know. He tells the story again, and in a rather pointed way. Men of Israel, why does this whole thing surprise you? Why are you staring at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? We didn't do this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And then he gets very, very pointed, and he goes on. And in his message to those leaders that are standing there, he says, you handed this Jesus over to be killed. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. He pulls no punches. He just speaks the truth. Now just think about for a minute who this speaker is. It's Peter. Not holier than thou, Peter. This is the Peter who had denied Jesus, who is in hiding after the death of Jesus and after his burial, who didn't really expect a resurrected Jesus. But this is the Peter who personally knows the grace of God in Christ, who knows that salvation is a glorious gift. And this one who repented and was restored by Christ, forgiven and called back into ministry, this one is calling those crowds to repent, to turn away from their sin and to turn to God. So sin is wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord, he said. That's forgiveness. God, by his grace, had forgiven Peter, and Peter understands firsthand the mercy and love of God in Christ. So, what's the big deal this morning? The big deal is this. This is what the church has to give. This is what the church has to proclaim. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like Peter and like me. We are loved and forgiven, loved with an everlasting love in Christ. And all of the ugliness of our sin is forgiven and removed, separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Do you remember in the garden on Easter Sunday morning, angel said to the women, he said, go back and tell his friends what you've seen. And by the way, tell Peter. Peter, who had denied him 3 times. Peter, who ran and hid. Tell Peter. He could have put my name in there, or your name. Already the message of grace was being extended to that broken apostle. It's the same message to you and to me this morning. Tell you that your sin is forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter what you've done. Coming before him and confessing that sin, your brokenness, your lack of faith in so many instances, the penalty for all of that is gone. It's removed. The message to Peter, the message to those crowds, is a message for you and for me. And repentance isn't a one-time thing. Unfortunately, I retain this thing that we call a sinful nature. And this side of eternity, I'm stuck with it. I am simultaneously a saint and a sinner. Figure that one out. I can't. That'll give you Excedrin headache number 2. I just need to be reminded over and over and over again of the mercy and grace and forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus. You are broken and you are restored like Peter. You come here to hear that whatever you have done, whatever you have become, he makes you whole again. He gives you his grace and his mercy and his love. I'm going to end with one little story. It's a story that Max Lucado uses in one of his books, and it's a story that comes out of Brazil. And it's the story of a mother named Christina, and the mother is Maria, and the daughter is Christina. And they lived alone. They lived in a small apartment in Bolivia, in Brazil. And they had next to nothing. Just a wash basin, a wood-burning stove. Meals were simple and sparse. And Christina had dreams of bigger things. And so the conversation often was that she needed to leave and go to the city. And one night, during the night, she slips off during the darkness. And she's gone when her mother awakens the next morning. The mother knows that her attractive daughter has no skills, she has no talents and abilities to make money, and she knows what kind of lifestyle she's going to end up in. And so she takes all of the change that she has, all of the money that she has, and she goes to a local drugstore in their community that has a photo booth, and she takes pictures of herself. She finally runs out of money, and she's got a stack of pictures, and she goes to the large city that she knows is a possibility for her daughter, it was Rio de Janeiro. And she knew that her daughter had no way of earning any money. And so she knew what kind of lifestyle she would be living. And so she went to every hotel, every bar, every nightclub that she could find, every place with a reputation for streetwalkers. She went to them all. And at each place, she left her picture. Taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner booth, phone booth, and on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before all of her money and the pictures ran out and she had to go home. And the weary mother cried as the bus began its long journey back to her little village. It was a few weeks later that young Christina descended the hotel stairs, and there, staring her in the face, was a picture of her mother at the very bottom of the stairs. By now, her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade these countless beds for her secure pallet in her mother's simple home. Yet the village was in many, many ways too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed that familiar face, and she took the picture off the wall. Her eyes burned, her throat tightened as she walked across the room and read the note that was on the back of the picture. Christina, whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. It's Jesus to us this morning. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been or what you've said, his arms are always open. And he says, come home. I love you. I forgive you. And just like Peter, you are his for all eternity. That's the good news of Easter. That's the good news that we have to take home. And it's the good news that we have to share with others. Amen.